Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, Anita Flores. Each new episode, I have a special guest, and today is no different. Today, we have a writer, an actress, and a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend star and creator of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Rachel Bloom. Rachel Bloom, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm so good. I mean, what a joy to just talk about Frasier.
I think I always like to talk about how I end up getting people to do this podcast. So this feels like a good time to mention the reason that I even know that you're a Frasier fan. And I once I find the name, I will tweet her. But somebody who listens to my podcast said, just tweeted at me, did you know Rachel Bloom is a fan of Frasier? That's how I found out. I had no idea. But then today, I was looking at your public Facebook page and it said one of your interests was Frasier. And that's
yes.
Currently all I have to go off of. So I am very curious, what is your history with the show Frasier? How did you get into it? When did you get into it?
Well, I watched every episode with my parents growing up. We were a big TV household. What would happen is my mom would tape all of the TV shows of the week and put them on one VHS, and then we'd watch them all on Friday night.
Nice.
Sometimes we'd, you know, watch a couple live here and there, but Frasier was one of those that premiered at just the right time where I really had memories starting to form. And so I watched every single episode with my parents, and it was like very important, informative. And then sometime around just after I graduated college, I started watching it again, but like more ironically, because it's such a kind of highbrow show and it's so Noel Coward-y, you know, and on purpose, obviously. And so there was kind of an ironic comfort to rewatching Frasier.
For sure.
For like a person in their early 20s. And then in my mid 20s, I was like, oh, wait, no, there's a reason I love watching this. It's because it's a great show. Right. And it's a really well done and structured show, and all of the kind of silly parts, it knows it's being silly. That's part of the point. It's truly like filmed theater, right, which I think is what's lacking in most multicams, is the idea that television in general, but especially multicam, it stems from recording stage performances. It comes from vaudeville and stage actors doing vaudeville. And so it embracing its staginess became just like, at first it was kind of ironic for me. And then it was like, no, I love this show. This is a great show. And now it's my comfort show. It's what I watch when I'm on work trips, or like when I feel sad, I watch Frasier.
Well, I have to say, I feel like it's extra special. Like, I too grew up watching the show and then started rewatching it once it was on Netflix. But I do feel like, and it sounds like similar to you, because I used to watch it with my mom. There's like, not only do you have the appreciation now that it's like a well-written show, but there's like a very nostalgic part of it for me. That's like a big reason I go back to it.
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, it's, on a side note, it is so funny to me that Kelsey Grammer is a known Republican, but is playing this kind of almost cartoon of a, of a liberal artsy person in Seattle, which I just think is very, very interesting. Obviously started with Cheers, but yeah, I love Frasier.
Did you watch Cheers? I did not.
I did. I watched it so young mm-hmm. that all I remember is watching the Cheers series finale. Mm. I remember that. And I want to look this up. When did, because Frasier premiered in
93. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. So I was six.
Okay.
And so so Cheers series finale was when I was five. And I remember weirdly watching that.
Wow.
With my parents. Yeah. I have that memory. But so Frasier came at the right time when I really just started to have real memories.
Sure. And do you have a favorite character or a few favorite characters from Frasier?
Oh boy. I mean, they're all so great. I mean, talking from a sketch comedy perspective where you learn in sketch, you learn this term game, which is the pattern of comedic behavior. Each one of those characters, all of them have such strong games. Mm-hmm. There isn't a single boring straight man on the show.
Right.
The lead is arguably the most outrageous character, which is so interesting to me and definitely an inspiration in creating my own work. But Niles.
Yeah. Every time I've asked this question, it's usually either been Niles or Roz. That has been generally, yeah. And I can understand, I mean, Niles is definitely my favorite character. I don't want to skip around too much, but I do very much want to ask you, and we can come back to more Frasier questions, but I wanted to try and combine universes. So what I tend to do when I watch shows, especially because I have this podcast, is when I watch other shows, I start thinking who's the Frasier of this show? Who's the Niles of this show? So, when I recorded my episode with Joe Keenan, the executive producer of Frasier, he told me that the idea of doing a Frasier musical had been pitched. It did not happen because of the amount of work that would have had to go into it. That was the number one reason. But I'm always thinking about Frasier the musical, and I watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So I thought, what would Frasier the musical look like with the cast of characters on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? So I made a list. And I'd love to hear your input on if you think these Crazy Ex-Girlfriend characters could fill in the shoes of these Frasier characters.
Okay.
So first, I felt like inevitably Rebecca. Oh, and also there's no rules in terms of, gender or ethnicity. It's anything goes. Of course.
When I agree or disagree, should I say something?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, great. I don't know if you wanted me to weigh in after you told. Okay, go on.
Yeah. Feel free to cast this whole thing if none of this fits. So Frasier, I think, would be Rebecca, of course.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, so I thought Paula would be Niles.
Yes, and I do want to say, around the time we were thinking of the show, this is not on Aline's end, it's only my end. I had just read an article about the creation of Frasier and how they were thinking, okay, who could his friends be? And the idea of Niles being a more Frasier-y Frasier. And I read an interview where David Hyde Pierce was saying that when he first read it, he's like, I don't understand, this is the same character. What's the difference? And then he went to the table read. And he said, oh my God, I get it. This is brilliant. This is a way to, it's a more exaggerated version of the protagonist. And that was definitely the idea of Paula, of who is a friend, who's someone in Rebecca's life that she could have that is almost more intense about the premise of the show than she is. And that, on my end, when I was brainstorming my end, that interview rang in my mind of, okay, instead of someone who's like, don't stop, Josh, you shouldn't do this. No. Who's someone who's going to yes and, who's even more into the premise? And I think that's just an improv mentality too, of rather than making us, you know, a second banana, someone who's like, I disagree with the premise of this. And it's different when it's family, because obviously you have that in Martin. It's so much more interesting to like, okay, who's someone that's even doing the show more than the lead character?
Right.
And being like, yeah, this is the premise of the show and I'm going to do it even better and more than the protagonist. So totally agree so far.
So I definitely, now it makes sense to me as I'm thinking about it. My favorite character on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is Paula. She's my favorite. She's my favorite. Everyone's fantastic, but you know,
of course. Similar, she's the Niles.
She is. And similarly, like, this is me just projecting myself, but I feel like both Paula and Niles are very relatable characters. Like, Niles definitely messed up my whole idea that, you know, loving someone from afar is this like very romantic thing. And in reality, things probably wouldn't work out the way they do on the show. But Paula very much reminded me of just being friends with somebody who sort of their life sort of bleeds into your life. And I feel like both of those characters end up shouldering a lot of the problems that the main characters have.
Yeah. Aline says something interesting because she comes from writing rom-coms for studios, and she uses this term, protect the lead. Mm-hmm. And when you're writing a big studio comedy, it's you kind of outsource the worst parts of the characters to the second banana. That's why you have the person who's like, girl, go get him, or just like, trash him. Right. And so the lead can be like, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And for the first season, a lot of it was that. It was because Rebecca was in denial, Paula had to be the one to also state, to not only protect the lead, but state the premise of the show. Mm-hmm. You're in love with Josh Chan. This is what our show's about.
Right.
And then the fun of upending that as we got into later seasons of Rebecca surpassing Paula and it not being a sitcom thing anymore, it being like, oh no, this is a serious problem.
Gotcha. Okay. So
yeah,
the rest of the list, Daphne, I thought Josh Chan would be a good fit because seemingly, I think both of them are a bit off in their own worlds and have a kind of enthusiasm that feels slightly, I don't know, less realistic. It's hard. Yeah, that's immediately who I went to. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think you may be right because I mean, we definitely got mileage out of Josh Chan not being the brightest bulb in the lamp store. But I think similarly, it's not like Daphne's not smart, but they definitely would get a lot of mileage out of her being just fucking weird.
Sure.
And it's that similar kind of, when in doubt, go to the Daphne well of something that happened to her back in Manchester, or the fact that she's psychic, or just her weird point of view on things. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think that's what I loved about watching Josh as a character. There's just like a lot more. There's a lot more to him than I didn't expect.
Yeah. And Daphne became very real. Obviously as the show went on, they really fleshed her out and she became quite three-dimensional.
Well, actually, this brings me to a separate point. There's just so many things. There's so many questions. And my producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer, is a big fan of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So I also asked her if she had any questions for you about Frasier. So one of those questions is, you were talking about Daphne's storyline. Now, one thing that I found to be slightly problematic was how they sort of tried to flesh out her very real pregnancy. And how in the show, like, it becomes this thing where they send her to fat camp. And so Caitlin's question, which I think is a very good question, is given that, what would you say the breakdown is of the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is created by women. And when I watch the show, there's very, you can tell it's great. It's relatable. And when you look at a show like Frasier, it was written by a lot of men, meaning that those female characters that we love were fleshed out by men with that storyline that was like slightly problematic. So I'm curious, maybe it doesn't have to be that plot line of what happened with Daphne and the fact that they tried to cover her real life pregnancy with this gaining weight plot line. But is there any plot line on Frasier that you would ever rewrite? Like, if you could, from a woman's perspective, and would you change that?
Well, I would maybe rethink the arc of Daphne and Niles getting together and then staying together, because I rewatched it recently, and a lot of it is about once she hears Niles is in love with her, she just suddenly has a crush on him. She starts obsessing over him, which is very true. That's what happens. But I kind of wanted a little bit more insight on like the qualities in him that she was suddenly seeing and the ways they actually were compatible as people. Mm-hmm. And this is just a general thought on the show of, okay, you know, you can fall in love. There's infatuation. Having a relationship is different. And the show did that.
Yeah.
I think I have the like criticism that a lot of fans of Frasier do, which is once you get Niles and Daphne together, mm-hmm. you take away that tension.
Right.
You just Absolutely. Take away the central tension. And they fought, but it wasn't enough conflict to keep that tension going. I'm not coming at this from a woman's perspective. I'm sorry. I'm coming at this from more of just like a story and deconstructing relationships perspective. I mean, as far as like storylines with women, I would say that Frasier has some of the general stuff that Seinfeld does, which is he only dates absolutely gorgeous women.
Right. Yes.
and models. And like yeah. and to the point of like they're models. And some of them are less model-y than others.
Sure. He does date like three models, like actual, you know, yeah, on the show, they're models.
I would say that's my general note of this, just kind of, I'm not saying that models don't date people who look like Frasier. They do. I just would have I don't know. I crave more aesthetic variety.
Sure.
And he did date women his own age. He actually did. So it's way better than other shows in that sense. But I don't know. Like it's there were so many women who were like beyond gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, someone should call this out. There's so just. Gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, there were like one or two episodes, or one of my favorites was when he has three dates in the same night.
Yeah.
And that was, and that's happened. He had there was a different episode where Martin moves out and then thinks Niles is trying to kill him so that Daphne will keep working there and they're living together. But then Frasier has a date and then he keeps thinking the date's coming, but it's like a different family of a different member of his family each time. This has nothing to do with anything. If anything, I'm just saying the one thing that I will say that makes sense is that with all of these very attractive women, he always screws it up. So that's believable.
That is believable. I mean, you know, there's nothing when I watch it that I'm like, ooh, super dated. I think it was actually quite progressive. I think that you treaded a fine line, like, some might say like, okay, the Maris we never see, she was like this, you know, frigid woman. Like there's this idea of the frigid woman. Same thing with Lilith, right?
Sure.
Lilith, the frigid woman. But then they deconstructed Maris a lot more. And then Lilith had that whole story where she slept with Niles.
Right.
And she was very passionate. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I actually do think they deconstructed their own tropes pretty well.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of notes for Frasier.
And that's okay. I think one of the things that I also was thinking about in terms of perhaps something that Frasier and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend have in common is Frasier was, in terms of their treatment of queer plot lines, I did a whole episode of this show or my podcast called The Queerness of Frasier. My guest, Anthony Oliveira, super funny, he's on Twitter, we talked about just their treatment of queer storylines and how despite, even though there weren't like a majority of episodes dealing with you know, gay men. There were a number of episodes, including one that got a GLAAD award, which was the matchmaker episode where the station manager thinks that Frasier is gay, but he's actually asking him out on behalf of Daphne. So similarly to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I feel like both shows did a good job of not making like the person's sexuality the butt of the joke. It was more of like the character. You know?
Yeah. Same thing. It's interesting. There's something they did a Patrick Stewart episode where Patrick Stewart thought Frasier was gay and Frasier was taking advantage of him because he's like, this is an amazing life. And I think that they called up their own trope, which is Frasier did seem what you would call, especially at that time, stereotypically gay.
Sure.
And so it was good that they called that out and that people, gay people, got mixed messages from him. It's actually, it was quite progressive.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
I mean, you have some of the best, like Frasier had some of the best sitcom writers in the world on it. So you have this guy, David Lloyd, who, he worked on all of these sitcoms in the 70s. He was, I believe, one of the co-creators of Cheers. His son is Chris Lloyd, one of the co-creators of Modern Family.
Oh my gosh. And then Chris's
brother Steven, who I know really well, is now writes on Modern Family, was one of the higher ups on How I Met Your Mother, and I met him through my husband. And Steven Lloyd was my first showrunner on the first show that I ever pitched.
Wow. Okay.
And he sat in on the Frasier writers' room a couple times.
Wow.
And I said, because his dad wrote on it, and then I think his older brother was writing on it, And I said, what was it like? He went, it was the best TV writers all writing in the same room. He just said it was a stunning and intimidating writer's room.
I can definitely imagine. We talked a lot about in the Queerness of Frasier episode and with Joe Keenan, this idea of how well Frasier does farce.
Yes.
And listening to Joe Keenan just talk about it felt like almost a mathematical equation, the work that goes into creating these little bumps in the road that create, you know, this giant obstacle and everything comes spilling out at the end. Which leads me to my next question. So like one of my favorite episodes that's very farcical is the ski lodge you know, the ski lodge. I don't even have to explain it to you. I don't think I asked you this. What are some of your favorite Frasier episodes?
So one episode that sticks out to me is the episode where Frasier is about to get an award and he's not happy about it. And he doesn't know why. Mm-hmm. And he goes to his former psychiatry mentor, I think it's college, and they analyze why is it important that Frasier get validation from this teacher, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And I think he misses the award because he, and then I think that's the episode that inspires him to go back into private practice.
I think you're right.
So those episodes that really get into that, I mean, the episode where Frasier keeps having the dream about sleeping with Gil, we're talking about queer narratives, where it's like, why am I having this dream? I think there's a period where he thinks he's gay. And then the end of the episode being that Freud comes into the dream and says you figured it out, and then he also tries to fuck Frasier. That's just like, oh my god, what a great heightening. I think things that really like things that are smart and use the fact that he's a psychiatrist to create smart and interesting storylines. I love the episode where Freddie is over and he's trying to parent trap Frasier and Lilith back together, and it's like, oh my god, he's sad. And Lilith is like, wait a second, this doesn't fucking track. And they realize, oh no, he's been manipulating them the whole time. And just only that show could do a storyline like that.
For sure. And it's, I think you mentioned this earlier, it really is like watching a play almost. And that's what I didn't really pick up on when I was much younger watching it in real time. But now I'm like, I did an episode of my podcast about Kelsey Grammer's autobiography, which, by the way,
I have read it.
Oh, and
so far.
And you can also listen to it. That's how I should have said that. I didn't read it. I got the audiobook. that he reads, and where was I going with this? Oh, right. And at first I was surprised and I didn't realize he didn't actually have a comedic background, and it just makes all the sense in the world. Like, I, at this point, I couldn't imagine anyone else playing him, but I did just learn, because I did go to Inside the Actor's Studio is taping new episodes right now with different guest hosts, not James Lipton. So I just went about a month ago to see Kelsey Grammer interview James Burrows, which was super interesting. And because James Burrows, I mean, he directed a bunch of Cheers, and then he directed some episodes of Frasier. But he said the reason that Kelsey Grammer ended up as Frasier was because John Lithgow turned it down.
Yes.
And I did not know that. I mean, I could see it, but on the other hand, I was like, I just thought it was really interesting. Like, a lot of sitcoms, or some, have been helmed by comedians, and they're all actors. Like, and it just, that's why it worked so well. Because it just...
Well, here's the weird thing, is that, I mean, thinking about stuff mushrooming in ways that you could never expect, you know, that was a guest star on Cheers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they offered it to John Lithgow, who I think at the time was this character actor. Mm-hmm. And then he turned it down because he's like, yeah, it's a guest, you know, he's busy or whatever. And the fact that Kelsey Grammer got it, and then just who would have imagined that guest star would then turn into, you know, the longest, I think it's the longest
running
fictitious role that someone has played on network television. And then it's only been surpassed by like SVU or something.
Sure. Yeah. You can't be SVU or The Simpsons, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It's something, maybe it's for a while. He played Frasier for, it was something like 20 straight years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's quite interesting that, yeah, John Lithgow turned it down. He didn't turn down Frasier the sitcom. He turned down a guest star.
I didn't think of that. Touche. Touche.
Which, so it just goes to show, you never know. you never know. I mean, it's not, John Lithgow has a fantastic career, obviously. So it's not like, I don't know if it's keeping him up at night, but this idea of saying yes.
And you don't know where it's going to lead.
Yeah, you just don't know. But I read so far when I was in middle school, again, because we were big Frasier
ass.
Yeah, and all the stories about his cocaine and being abused by his wife and
his sister.
I mean, he was, yeah. Oh God, I forgot.
I can't believe you read that. Oh, that's a young age to learn about Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, it was weird. I could take it.
Unrelated. In terms of the way mental health is handled on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it's definitely one of the most, like, to me personally, realistic depictions of just all kinds of stuff. I mean, I rewatched today the attempted suicide episode, and it's an incredible episode. And it did bring me back to something about Frasier, which I always laugh about, which is, the you know, like, the styles of therapy that Niles and Frasier practice are not ones that are particularly popular today. Like, Frasier is, you know, a Freudian, and Niles is a Jungian. So this leads to a fan question that somebody had, which is, if Rebecca went to Frasier for therapy, who could she have been a good match with? As in, we've got Frasier Crane, we've got Niles Crane, and we've got Lilith, because she's also a...
And what does she do? What's her style of...
That is the question. I'm not sure. I like, the only clue, in my opinion, I have to the kind of therapist she might be, there's a perfect breakdown of their styles right after she sleeps with Frasier, and they all have their own explanation as to why she slept with Niles. So,
oh yeah,
Niles is all about the id and the superego, and Frasier says that this all has to do with Niles trying to get back at Frasier because Frasier's more successful than him career-wise. Mm-hmm. And then from Lilith says the most logical thing, which is something like, you know, she, at the time, she had just been left by her husband, who leaves her for a man, and she's feeling very vulnerable, and she's feeling like she's not desirable, and then, you know, having sex with Niles made her feel desirable. So based off that episode alone, I would think Rebecca should go to see Lilith, but that's just my opinion.
I agree. I think she should see a woman in general, but yeah, that sounds exactly like just kind of taking out the like deep analysis and going, okay, practically, how are you feeling right now? Right. I think that is really important. I had to re-Google Jungian because I took a class in Freudian psychoanalysis in college. So mm-hmm. I know Freud stuff a little bit. It says the overarching goal of Jungian psychology is the attainment of self through individuation. I mean, that's kind of what we did in our series finale. So I think it would go Lilith, Niles, and then Frasier. I think Frasier would, I think she'd gravitate towards Frasier because he would seem like a male authority figure that she would trust. Right. You know, she has these father issues, not to get Freudian with it. But I think that there's something to Freudian psychoanalysis where you analyze everything. And if you're already doing that,
yeah,
a lot with your life, she knows her parents are fucked up. Mm-hmm. She knows all that. So I think that she needed someone who is a little more like, how do you feel right now?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like less sterile.
Right. Less sterile. So I was looking for similarities between Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Frasier. One thing that I found to be similar in a positive way was sort of the way Frasier ends and the way Crazy Ex-Girlfriend ends, which in both cases, to me, is a bit of a question mark. As in, Frasier at the end of the series ends up following Charlotte, played by Laura Linney, to Chicago, and you don't know what happens. You don't know if it works out. That's just the way it ends. And then in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you don't get to hear the song that Rebecca's going to sing, which I liked. So my question is, do you feel like when you see the end of a series or what in your own writing, do you like to write things that end on that sort of question mark? Or do you think it's sort of just dependent on the story and it's like sort of individual with every different show?
I think it's individual with every show. To us, we were telling a character journey and we very much saw it as a snippet of a character's life. Mm-hmm. It was always only a 4-season show. This is a relatively short period of time in a young woman's life. So that period of time has a beginning, middle, and end, but it is, in some ways it's a prequel to the rest of her life. I mean, we could say that every day we live is an interesting, you know, a prequel to the rest of our lives. And I think that, I love the way Frasier ended because the whole show was about his search for love and his search for just finding someone who made him feel good and not overanalyzing it. Someone who just made him feel like a better version of himself and that he chose that over like what seemed better, like a career move.
Right.
I thought was really, really strong and cool. And I think that it was a lovely, really elegant ending. Cause like, what are you going to do? See him reunite with Laura Linney and then, you know, what's going to happen. She's going to be super happy. And you know, his decision. Revealing his decision is the most important thing because it's a character show. I mean, it was an ensemble show, but it wasn't, he was the main guy.
Sure.
That you were rooting for. He was always the A story. And so I think that once you know what that decision is, everything else is just repetitive and kind of gravy. So similarly with Rebecca, once you know what she's doing, it's kind of this unwritable song. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing... Because also chances are with her, she's a beginning songwriter. I don't know how good the song's going to be. I don't, you know. Yeah. And so the important part isn't the song itself, just like the important part isn't him running into Laura Linney's arms himself. The important part is the mental change within the character.
Right. Now, I'm the one who's making connections between the two shows, but I am curious, did Frasier, given that it is one of your favorite shows, did it inspire anything for you when you were, you know, creating Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Did anything about the show appeal to your sensibilities, you know, while you were writing? Or
I mean, I just think anything that's a faithful, that is so good with story structure in general is always an inspiration. just because it's like that. Yeah, that's it has amazing, impeccable story structure. Sure. I think in general, it's use of theater people, good actors to flesh out these big characters that still had that weren't stock, but they were big. I mean, Harriet Harris as his agent, my God, like, you know, Kristen Chenoweth was on the show. Brian Stokes Mitchell played his rival. So I think that general, the use of theater and musical theater people on television, I mean, Nathan Lane, like it, it, you know, it goes on and on with Frasier.
Patti LuPone. Did you know?
Yes. She? Oh my God.
I didn't know that until recently.
Who did Patty play?
She plays the mom. She like on there. He's not speaking to his cousin Nikos because
she plays the Greek mom.
Yes,
of course. I didn't. Oh my God!
Somebody pointed that out to me. I was like, "What? It's crazy."
That makes sense.
So
So I think that in general, that just seeing them do that was, you know, in my mind, definitely an inspiration in the casting.
Definitely. Now, I have to bring up the Frasier revival, which at this point is still just whispers of a rumor and a picture of Kelsey Grammer perhaps holding a script.
I know. I saw that.
So I am curious, how do you feel that this about this possibly happening? And do you have any ideas as to what you would hope to see or if you were the one writing this, you know, you don't even have to give me a full plot line, but even like a starting point of, you know, where might this revival take place? Because, you know, last you see him, he goes to Chicago.
Well, yeah, I guess what I would say is with any of these revivals, I don't really care about plot. What I care about is what are you trying to say? I mean, I know that's not very like Hollywood-y for me to be like, well, why, you know, but okay, why revive something, why revive a character, what stories can you tell thematically? Okay, so we found love. That was the entire series arc of Frasier, is a radio psychiatrist who cannot find love himself, and they completed that question. So if you just explore his life in Chicago, that's not, you know, what of that? That seems, it's like, okay, that's just like Harry Potter fan fiction. That's just fan fiction. That's just like Frasier goes to buy a newspaper, which
Frasier
I
starts a podcast.
Exactly. So I think it would just be like, what's the question? And I think, I mean, I think that something that's interesting is now that kind of old school psychiatrist that he was, which is talk therapy combined with medication, which is what Niles was too, is kind of dying. I actually have a psychiatrist who is not Freudian, but he's a psychiatrist who is really like really great with talk therapy and also prescribes. And what's happening now in mental health is that you have psychologists and then you have psychiatrists who are basically making money by just prescribing, and they're not really doing talk therapy anymore. So I think there's something interesting with, you know, does he have to like relearn mental health stuff? That's interesting to me. It was funny. They were looking for theoretically people to pitch on the Frasier revival, and I was still in the middle of Crazy X. But my friend from Robot Chicken, who knows I love Frasier, was like, you should pitch on it. And I was just so busy. I wouldn't have, but had it been the right time, I would have probably tried to put my name in the hat.
I mean, not that I know at all where they are in this as a possibility, but I would like to think that it's not too late for you to pitch.
You know, I should look into it. I mean, I think it's just the question of what, but with everything, like, are we, I mean, is it realistic? Daphne and Niles are like still together? Like, I love them, but like,
is it going to be?
I'm not saying people.
Is it going to be a girl meets world situation? How old is Freddie? Is it, you know?
It's funny. I know the guy who played Freddie.
Oh, small.
His name is Trevor Einhorn, and he's great.
Oh, cool.
Who very well could be a psychiatrist in his own right now.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There's something interesting about Freddie moving in with him because. Oh, this is my pitch. Freddie has to move in with him because he's in medical school.
Uh-huh.
And millennials today are like going broke. Right. And so the idea of like, or he's in medical school to be a psychiatrist, and Fraser dealing with like all of the new things he's learning in mental health and having to readjust the way he sees the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that definitely, I was definitely discussing that as a possibility of them moving in together, because it would be sort of the obvious sort of recreation of, you know, father and son who are both have very different sensibilities. I would guess that Freddie, similarly, like Fraser and his father were so different, I would assume that it would be a similar sort of relationship where they're also, they never lived together growing up because he lived
they
with
didn't. That's a good point. That's right. A good point. I mean, the obvious catalyst for the show is that Martin has died, right, which unfortunately has happened.
Yes.
And so that's a catalyst for him coming back mm-hmm. to Seattle. And then something would keep him in Seattle. So that's a plot catalyst.
Sure.
I just don't know then what are you thematically trying to say?
Right. Well, you'll have time to flesh this out at the next pitch meeting that I'm sure you're going to find out about. Oh, okay. I have another. Here's perhaps this is an easier question than telling me the entire idea for the reboot. If you could write yourself in just as a character, doesn't even have to be a main, could be like, you know, you've got a one episode arc. Is there a character you would love to slip yourself in as? And this could be in the world that existed on Frasier. Everyone's still in Seattle. Frasier works at the station. Roz is his producer. Yeah.
I have a storyline for myself. I would be a call that completely stumps him and keeps calling back with like new twists in the story. And he finally seeks out this person being like, I want to help you. And the character being like, oh, I just made all that up. I was just like trolling. I was just fucking with you.
Have you ever watched the compilations on YouTube not on YouTube, just in the end credits of every season finale, you see all
of the
people that called in. Do you have a favorite caller, for celeb caller?
There are so many people. No, they were all good.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think my favorite was David Duchovny, just because I was like, I was like, how did they do this? Because at one point, I guess everyone knew the show because it was coming off of Cheers. But I wondered if at the time it was like this thing you hoped would happen to you, like a Frasier producer would call you and be like, do you want to, you know, call in John McEnroe, who was also on, which is
Bet they would. I bet they'd also seek it out. I bet people would ask their agents and they'd say, I want to be a voiceover on Frasier. And I think that everyone probably were fans and they were paid with the flat SAG-AFTRA voiceover or SAG voiceover.
Right? Sure. Okay. So I didn't finish casting Frasier.
Please finish.
Frasier the musical with crazy ex-girlfriend characters. If you're listening, listeners. I got off topic, but that's okay. Okay, so actually, maybe it might be more fun also to see if you... Okay, so I'm going to give you a character, and you tell me who... Okay, Greg.
Okay.
Who do you think Greg would embodies? I've got an answer.
Martin.
That is a really good answer. I was going to say Roz, but Martin
Heather's Roz, Greg is Martin.
Interesting. I had these switched, but now that I think about it, I think you could be right. So then I've got some more minor.
Well, let's see. Heather. Ahead. Yeah, because Martin comments on things to like protect himself. Like he's snarky to protect himself a little bit, and he loves beer. and Roz is... doesn't do it, I think, as much as for self-protection.
Sure. Off topic again, but we were just talking about Harriet Harris. So my favorite not main character, recurring character, is BB, 100%.
Yeah.
If not her, is there another character that you really liked on the show who wasn't a regular cast member?
Bulldog's great.
Yeah.
He's such a piece of trash. But is that episode where he dates Roz is so great. And Lilith is great. I mean, episode I love.
I love Lilith. She's
so great.
We basically, when I had Anthony Oliveira on, I think we were talking about who our crushes on Frasier were. And like, as he, as a gay man and me as a straight woman, both agreed. Lilith has this, I don't know.
Yes.
Aura I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like she's a bit of an icon, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a drag queen out there who is doing a Lilith Stiernan Crane impression.
Probably.
And also openly Jewish.
That's right.
Which is like, you know, still rare for the 90s. People not owning Judaism. Like, you know, Seinfeld wasn't even, it was a Jewish show, but like Jerry didn't go to temple on it. None of those characters really talked about being Jewish, which brings me to actually probably the funniest episode of Frasier, which is the Klingon Bar Mitzvah.
The Klingon Bar Mitzvah, was that a later season?
It was. So Freddie's getting bar mitzvahed because Lilith is Jewish. Right. And Freddie owed, oh God, the guy at the station who's kind of nerdy and Kenny? Was in love with Roz.
Oh, what? Oh, not Kenny. Noel.
No, Noel.
Yeah.
Noel's pissed at him for ruining a Star Trek figurine or whatever of his. So he, and Noel's also Jewish. And Frasier asks him he wants to say a speech to Freddie's bar mitzvah in Hebrew. So Noel teaches him Hebrew and he says it. And it realized he taught him Klingon as a revenge. And it's so good.
Okay, I have another fan question for you.
Oh, and wait, should we do the characters?
Oh, sure, yeah. I'm sorry. There's just so much going on. Okay. All right, so Daryl, I had two answers for Daryl. Okay. So, and those are, who does he embody? I think he has sort of the nerdy energy of Kenny Daly and the loyalty of Eddie the dog.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's what I think he's a
Kenny.
Yeah.
He's definitely a Kenny.
Yeah.
He's a Kenny with I mean, everyone kind of almost takes like center stage. So like, you know, I think he's like a Kenny with then like some Frasier realizations.
Sure. I like that. Yeah. So Nathaniel at some point is more of an enemy at the very. So I cast him as Cam Winston.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I mean,
I would agree.
Frasier and Cam don't get together, but if they did, it would be an explosive relationship.
I'd say he's Cam Winston and then he's also a little bit Roz.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So White Josh, I said, was Bulldog. Now, I think it's layered because to me, White Josh is sort of challenging a stereotype you might see of gay men, I think.
Actually, the guy who plays Bulldog is gay.
Exactly. But he's playing like the straightest man on earth, a stereotype of a straight man that likes sports. So when I think of Josh, I thought of Bulldog. What are your thoughts?
That's a good one. I would say, in temperament and relationship to the lead, he's more Eddie because Frasier fucking hated Eddie.
Yeah.
And Eddie didn't really like Frasier. And Eddie was kind of the ultimate commentary on the situation.
Sure. Also, and this is mentioned in Kelsey Grammer's autobiography about his beef with the dog, with Moose. And he says in the book, like my favorite quote is something like, people want to perpetuate like this myth that I, you know, have this like hatred or something of the dog. And then he makes a point of saying, Moose is not an actor. He's a dog or something like that. Then during the taping of Inside the Actor Studio, no one was talking about Moose. I don't even remember how it came up. He started talking about Moose and he was like, oh, yeah, I remember Moose. He would just be growling all the time. We had to give him treats because he hated John Mahoney. He hated us. And then he said, Moose is a terrorist. That is a direct quote.
That's
from Kelsey
amazing.
Grammer. I'd be curious to see if they keep it in the edited version, but I thought that was really funny. Okay, the last character I have on here is Valencia.
I have a pitch for the pilot of the Frasier Revival.
Go for it.
I actually might email my agents and see if they pitch this. Is that you think they're home for Martin's funeral in the first act. But actually it's Eddie's funeral. Martin died like a year ago. Whoa. And it's Eddie's. And Eddie was like the world's oldest dog.
I mean, I have yet to hear that as a premise.
Yeah.
So you've heard it here first, listeners. See, and this is you patenting your idea. So no one can take it because you said
that's true. This is basically
podcast.
Like when you send in a script to the Writers Guild and they say this script is registered. This is me registering that on a podcast.
I mean, I'm into it. I have one more character, and that's Valencia. So Valencia, I could definitely see some Roz. I think I was trying not to reuse characters, so I said Lilith. But I don't know. I feel like there's some dryness there that I feel like could overlap.
I actually think Nathaniel might be Lilith, I'm realizing.
Really?
Maybe. Lilith also works for Valencia, too. Oh, God. I don't know.
That's okay. But I do have two other casting questions.
Great.
Slightly different, but this is more about the revival. So in the case that forgive me, I forgot the character's name who plays Frederick that you know.
Oh, the person.
Right.
Trevor Einhorn.
So say Trevor did not want to be in this reboot.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that comes to mind who you think could play Frederick? I've got one if you need inspiration.
I'm trying to think of like who's the right age.
Yeah. So let's see. And he's probably what, in his 30s?
He'd be in his, he was like maybe about my age.
Yeah.
I mean, actually the person who comes to mind is Josh Gad.
Okay. I could be on board with that. That's so funny. You know, I didn't even think of Josh Gad. I thought of Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek. That's where my mind went.
I don't actually
know if that's a good fit. I just think he's so funny. And I was like trying to think of the person who would have the most sort of friction with a character like Frasier. I think I'm probably thinking of his character on Schitt's Creek, but I could imagine Frasier not getting along well with somebody who is in the mindset and age that we are with podcasts and not opera and Sherry. Mm-hmm. So I thought of him. Mm-hmm. Other question, who, if anyone, and this could be previous, like a dead, alive, who do you think could have played Maris if you ever saw Maris?
Oh, God. If the timing had worked out, Madeline Kahn.
Ooh, okay.
An emaciated Madeline Kahn.
That's a good one. I thought of Lara Flynn Boyle, but Madeline Kahn.
That's another one.
Madeline Kahn would have been great.
Oh, and then if it were now, Taylor Swift. In like a gray wig, just for fun.
Whoa, I wonder if Taylor Swift ever watched Frasier. Maybe I'll.
I'm gonna guess no, but I could be wrong.
So I have another fan question, and we'll see. She said, just ask her, Faye or Cassandra?
Faye.
Yeah, right?
Faye actually was like such a fit for him.
Obvious choice.
Cassandra's the blonde, the mom that he was the girl from high school.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, no.
I mean.
So that is
Cassandra was his neighbor.
Right. And
yeah,
that's
Faye.
So Cassandra is actually the character who works at the station. She's blonde and she's played by Virginia Madsen. So the person you're thinking of is the woman Regan who lives across the hall from him.
Oh, okay, wait. Who's Cassandra?
Cassandra's a blonde.
Oh yeah. How did he meet her?
I think at work.
Oh, because
she works. Wait. She works at KACL.
What were her qualities? Because I remember Faye.
I'll give you some of her qualities.
Great.
She honestly, and this is why I feel like Faye is the right answer. So Faye was like a fun, like, you know, really smart pastry chef. Cassandra is. Seemingly, they talk about the fact that she's like wears like a lot of makeup and is like very put together and like blonde. But I don't necessarily know how much they really talk about her personality. It seems like Faye is the choice. Like Martin thinks he, you know, Cassandra is like the greatest thing on earth. But Faye is the one. I forgot who she's played by the woman from Judging Amy, I think. I can't remember her name.
Yeah. Faye. I'm thinking of Lorna. He was the woman.
Yes.
I'm on the Frasier Reddit and someone is arguing that Lorna was the perfect woman and people are tearing this person apart.
Oh man.
This is so.
There's a lot of Reddit threads, funny. By the way. I mean, Frasier Reddit threads. It's unbelievable.
I've never looked up Frasier on Reddit.
It's incredible. Truly.
Okay, Reddit. Frasier. 24,000 members.
Oh, God, I have to join that. I'm going to
read, comment, every reaction from Frasier. This reminded me of a hilarious exchange. The Frasier food chain? What? Tiger eats owl, eats lizard, eats cricket? I don't understand what that means.
I'm
just reading a Reddit. No one wants to hear me read.
No. I'm saying Reddit. You can really find yourself in a hole of the Frasier universe.
Like, anyone else have Frasier related dreams? I've had dreams that I'm suddenly a series regular on Frasier and I'm friends with everyone.
Oh my gosh. Are you as you or as an already existing character?
As a new character. There's a revival and I'm a new character.
Love it. I've also had Frasier dreams before. And that's the beauty of Frasier, is that I've never had any nightmares about Frasier because I've never seen anything on Frasier, which is why it's a great show to watch before bed, which was confirmed to me by my therapist, because I like some sort of white noise when I go to bed. And I said to her, she was like, don't watch anything that's going to distract you from going to bed. I was like, but what about Frasier? And she was like, no, that's okay. That's fine. Cause it's so calming, you know, in the world of the perfect woman for Frasier. Do you feel like there was a character or a woman love interest on the show that he should have or could have ended up with that was meant for him?
I think Faye was fucking great.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
I liked Faye.
Oh, and also wasn't Faye. There was another woman who was just a brilliant actress. And I was watching that episode and I was like, what a great love interest. And she was very angry at Frasier.
Is it Kate Costas, the character, the one who's his boss for a while? And they have.
Yes. 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 Mercedes Rule, of course.
Oh, that's her name.
She's great.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they had the best chemistry. But yeah, if we're being real, I feel like Faye, she was cool. I agree.
She was great.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel Bloom, for being here today. It was, I think this was a really eye-opening episode. And I really hope that you end up writing or starring in this revival. Is there anything that you have coming up that you want the world to know about? The whole world is listening to this podcast.
I just checked my website for live tour dates.
Amazing.
Which is racheldoesstuff.com.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Rachel Bloom. And until next time, good night, Seattle.
Tune in for a new episode of I Am Listening on October 15th with writer and creator of the upcoming animated series You're Not a Monster, co-starring Kelsey Grammer as a psychiatrist turned vampire.